Last week we considered Jesus' words as he encouraged us to ask our Father for wisdom, for discernment, and to make right judgments. Right judgments regarding one another, but about ourselves. Today we come to Jesus' closing words in the Sermon on the Mount, and he encourages us to make wise decisions rather than follow the foolish ways of the world. Assume that you realise that choosing life has always been our choice. It's always been our choice. God has always given us the choice to choose life, to obey him, to love him or not, to be wise or not, to be foolish. Adam and Eve were given a choice. They chose death rather than life. The book of Proverbs is almost entirely devoted to the comparison between the wise person and the foolish person. Joshua commended the Hebrew people, choose for yourself this day, choice, choose for yourself this day who you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And similarly, Jeremiah. He said, this is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life or the way of death. In other words, God was saying, you get to choose either life or death. You get to choose which way you will go. And as Jesus closes his sermon, he gives us three important questions to ask ourselves to ensure that we're following the way of the wise and not the way of the fool. Those questions are inferred through what Jesus says. As the crowd is listening to Jesus preaching, they're being told that the way of the Pharisees and the way of the hypocrites is not the way to go. But as Jesus closes, he says that the way is narrow and only a few will find it. So be attentive. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled into thinking that because you're Hebrew, because you're God's chosen people, that you're safe. Just because you've got the right bloodline, or just because you've been brought up in a Christian home, doesn't mean that you're safe. And so by inference, Jesus asks these three questions. The first is, which path are you on? In verses 13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I led a funeral service during this last week and there were many non-Christians there. And one fellow said to me, I believe in a higher power that is above them all. Well, in some ways he's right, but at no time did I hear him say that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Many people today say that they believe in a higher power, in a God that is above them all, that is somehow the embodiment of all of the possible gods, that all roads lead to salvation, all roads lead to this mighty power. Many also believe that freedom is the ultimate pursuit, that total freedom without restriction is the goal. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And so Jesus says, small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So don't be fooled into thinking that you're safe without giving some serious thought to locating this small gate and walking this narrow path. I've always appreciated this artwork. You might have seen this before. It illustrates that the broad way is like an interstate highway. It's easy to get on. You can travel fast. You can be enticed by the many billboards along the way. You can quickly exit the highway, partake in whatever pleasure you might choose without accountability, and then get right back on that highway. Whereas the narrow road is more like a winding track. It's not easy to find and therefore not easy to get on. You have to be careful as you travel on this road, as the Greek word for narrow is also our word for tribulation, which generally means persecution. And so you will have your troubles as you travel this narrow path. One of those troubles comes in the form of ridicule and mockery, and last week we considered one of those troubles that comes in the form of judgment, that the world will judge us in like manner as the way that we judge others. And Jesus' advice was to treat others how we'd like to be treated, to love others how we would like to be loved. And to ask the Lord in prayer for wisdom and discernment, to be like Christ, to be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to be gracious and compassionate to all. But secondly, in the Western world today, we're led to believe that tolerance is one of the greatest of virtues and that tolerance must be upheld at all costs. We must be accepting of one another's views and refrain from challenging another's beliefs. But if we think that through, then tolerance means that we should allow for challenge because it's everyone's right to do that. Tolerance should allow for me to tolerate someone challenging my view. Tolerance should allow for tolerance. However, the moment that we as Christians begin to challenge another's belief, then we are branded as being intolerant. It's simply a convenient way for the world to remain on the broad road and for Christians to remain on the narrow path of tribulation. And Jesus says, rejoice in that. Jesus has already addressed this and he's told us to move on to where there is good soil if we're copping ridicule and mockery. So which path are you on? The narrow or the broad? Second question that Jesus asks by inference is, who are you listening to? Verses 15 through to 22. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. For not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus is asking his listeners to think carefully about who they're listening to and to weigh up what they say with the fruit of their words, their lives, their behaviour. The Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, they may argue a good case and they may appear to know what they're talking about. But do their lives reflect the love of the Lord for all people? Do they care for people regardless of whether it's the Sabbath or not? Or does the Sabbath take precedence over caring for people? Do they consider keeping the law as of greater importance than caring for a woman caught in adultery? What fruit do their lives produce? And what do they seek to gain through their words and their judgments? What is it that's motivating them? And the Apostle Paul addresses this in Galatians 5. What fruit is evident in God's people? And what fruit should we see in the church? He said, the acts of the flesh are obvious: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. False prophets or false teachers leave in their wake factions, divisions, discord, and often they respond in fits of rage. The fruit that they bears witness to their character. And some are not so easy to discern because they speak so eloquently from the cult-like leader to the one who has twisted scripture for their own ends. But what is the fruit of their lives? What is the fruit of their behaviour? For by their fruit you will recognise them. And of course, Jesus doesn't want us to be just simply looking at one another, at others around us and judging them, but examining our own hearts. What kind of fruit am I producing? What kind of fruit are you producing? We can deceive ourselves from our self-righteous perspective that we're doing okay. We think that our fruit is quite acceptable. But if there are some who will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And the Lord will point out that the fruit of their character did not exhibit love and joy and peace and patience and self-control. Then we'd be wise, very wise, to give serious attention to our own fruit. Who am I listening to? And what fruit am I producing? And thirdly, by inference, Jesus asked the question, what are you building on? In verses 24 to 27, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And Paul in Galatians again says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Don't try and make a fool out of God, in other words. He says, a man reaps what he sows. And one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Are you building on the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit? But notice the similarities between the builders in Jesus' story. They are both builders, and they both build houses. They know how to build, and they're both building houses. Both have similar life situations. They both go through storms, as we all do. We all go through storms. But note that it's the storm that proves the difference. We don't like facing storms. But could that be why God allows storms in your life and mine? To prove what you're building your life upon? Are you building upon the foundation of God's word? Or are you ignoring it? Does it sit on the shelf without being read? Or have you forgotten your password? Can't get into your phone to check out God's word. It's through God's word that we take up the shield of faith, we put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Through God's word. And when the next storm of life comes, will you stand firm? Or will your life come crashing down? The story's been told that many, many years ago, a man conned his way into the orchestra of the Emperor of China, although he couldn't play a note. And whenever the orchestra practiced or performed, he would hold his flute against his lips, pretending to play but not making a sound. And he received a modest salary and enjoyed quite a comfortable living. Then one day the emperor requested a solo from each musician. The flautist became very nervous, anxious. There wasn't enough time to learn the instrument. He pretended to be sick, but the royal physician wasn't fooled. And so on the day of his solo performance, this imposter took some poison and killed himself. The explanation of his suicide has led to a phrase that we use in our English language. And you've heard the phrase. He refused to face the music. Today you can pretend to be a part of God's orchestra by just blending in with the crowd and going through the motions. No one notices because you say the right things, you go to the right places, you hang out with the right kind of people, and you can enjoy the comfort of being accepted by the crowd of your choice. However, there will come a day when you must face the music. One day, you will be separated from everything and everyone else and face God alone. On that day, you stand before God. In the meantime, every day now, you are building a foundation based upon which path you travel and to whom you listen. Are you really trusting in God through faith in Jesus? Have you accepted that Jesus' death has paid the price for your sin and choose to follow and obey Jesus? Is God's word the foundation that you're building your life upon? Going to ask the band to come forward to get ready to play our closing song. As they come forward, for those of you who sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit that you need to make that public declaration that you are following Jesus Christ, I invite you to do that as we do sing our closing song. But just before we do, there's something that's very interesting about the path that you choose. If you choose the broad path, it becomes narrower and narrower the longer that you go through this earthly life, the longer that you stay on it. Just ask an alcoholic, an unfaithful spouse, or the dishonest businessman. The longer that they remain in their sin, the more narrow and confined their lives become, the more that they are defined by that behaviour. However, if you choose the narrow path, it tends to get wider as you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. With Christ, there is a freedom that only God can give. And that freedom releases you to live abundantly and fruitfully, peacefully, joyfully. The way of life opens up before you. So which path are you on? Who are you listening to? What are you building your life on? For me, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.